Bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Do you have a reason to praise the Lord today?
Yes.
You know that song when I was growing up that used to say, I have a reason to praise my God. So many reasons to praise my God in my heart. There are reasons to praise the Lord. And I will not be diggy-diggy up here. When it comes to praising God, I will not be dignified.
Amen.
I love the way Pastor used to just draw it. Diggy, 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 diggy. Yes, we have a reason to praise our God this morning. Praise the Lord. Before we sit down, I would like us to do our confession. Like Pastor Muyiwa said, we are in December. And very soon, we don't know what God has for us. But as long as there is night and day, and it's still December 2025, we still have a confession to proclaim.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We still have a confession to proclaim. Don't say, oh, it's we're already towards the end of the year. No, don't say that. With God, there is no time constraint, right? God is not constrained by time. Yes, he's not constrained by time. So I would like us to go through our confessions this morning. Thank you all for being here this morning. For those of us who are online, thank you for being there. We do not take it for granted. We know that God has something for you. God always has something, always has something. Even when you think, there is nothing for me here, the Holy Spirit reminds you that, yes, there is something for you. Just open your hearts this morning and God will fill your heart with something. Thank you. I also want to thank our pastor, senior pastor, who is obviously not here, and he has given me an opportunity to share the word this morning. We extend our love for him. Do we have it on the overboard? Okay. So let's start. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil, and I'm replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. My hands' kingdoms are subdued. Mountains are removed. Promises are produced. And the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle. And I overcome by his mantle. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do. And there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Can we be seated, brethren? Praise the Lord. Have we been enjoying our services? Incredible praise. If you've not been giving God incredible praise, you are missing out on something. I tell you, you are missing out of something. I have had two testimonies in the space of 7 days, which just affirms and solidifies the fact that our God is not sleeping. Hallelujah. Like this man sang and said, excuse me if I feel or I look like I'm undignified. It's because you don't know what the Lord has done for me. Because if you knew, you would join me in my undignifiedness. Hallelujah. God is still in the business of doing miracles. No matter what the world says, that miracle is of the past. It is not. That's just faithlessness. It's the trick of the devil. We believe that our God is still in the business of doing things. And a pastor has been saying, we have to give God an uncommon praise. Sacrifice. This morning, I would like us to go back and just share something which the pastor has been sharing to us. It has to do with sacrifice. That's a term which when you hear, you only think about maybe the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, and where the laws of sacrifices of killing the bulls and goats and rams, you know, or the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want us to look deeper into this, knowing fully well that God does not limit sacrifices only for bulls, and God has not limited the sacrifices only for his son. The sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ did was the ultimate sacrifice which paved the way for us to follow suit. That sacrifice was so painful to God in such a way that some people used to say, how can a holy and just God, a loving God, punish people, you know, with hellfire? Well, you will understand why, because that act that Jesus did by coming on earth, dying on that cross shamefully, putting heaven and creation on standstill because everything could have happened, that act was not a simple act. It was depriving God from his beloved son for 3 good days. God was deprived of his son. Until his son cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? God forsook his son on the cross. But then the son, he rose from the dead. And God is saying, believe in Jesus and you will be saved. You have an opportunity to have eternal life. So don't say God is a just God who cannot punish. He will punish not because he wants to, but because there is a law of the sacrifice of his son. That simple act that Jesus did created room for God to say, there must be punishment for anybody who will refuse this kind of sacrifice. That's why it's painful to God when the word of God is, the love of Jesus is shared abroad and people despise it because they have not seen what Jesus did on the cross for us. So this morning, I would like us to talk about the spirit of your sacrifice satisfies God. Hallelujah. Now, there are many people who do sacrifices, who do what, you ask yourself, what is sacrifice? Simply put, sacrifice is doing something that is away from your own comfort. It's not really, you don't intentionally do it to benefit from it. When you are sacrificially giving or praising God, you know, or serving God, you are not doing it for yourself. You are doing it for God. Amen. You are doing it for God. And I would like us to share from David, of course, the life of David in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13 to 17. There is a story there which I love and which can easily, you know, direct us, show us what sacrifice is. The pastor talked about the sacrifice of praise. How we have to praise God even when we don't feel like. Or I have to praise God even when the situations around you don't reflect it. You know, you don't just praise God because you passed, you got an appointment or you got a gift. You don't just praise God for that. But you praise God even when the circumstances around you don't encourage you to praise God. We are going to talk about service this morning. Sacrifice of service. The Bible says, and 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. 14. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. 16. And the 3 mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And 17. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he will not drink it. These things did these 3 mighty men. Hallelujah. This is a king who just longed for something. He just longed for water. He was thirsty. And David was really beloved by his army because he treated them very well. He gave them value. He gave them purpose. He honored them. And so he just said, how I longed that I could have water from the well in Bethlehem. Now, what you should understand is during this time, the children of Israel, they were fighting a war with the Philistines. And the Philistines had occupied Bethlehem. They had put an outpost, like that garrison you see there. It's an outpost protecting an interest that they had. So they were there in that outpost protecting water. That well, during wartime, army, the soldiers are thirsty after fighting. Water is a vital resource during wartime. But David said, how I wish I could drink that water from that well. The Bible tells us that there are three men who were not ordered or commanded. That is sacrifice. First thing you should know. When you want to do a sacrifice, it comes from your heart. Nobody coaxes you to do it. You know, that some people, when God blesses them, they say, God, this one, this is for you. It's beyond, above and beyond. This is, I just give it for you. You know, you give it, which if some other person sees it and says, what are you doing? How can you give this kind of thing to God? You say, yeah. That is what we call sacrifice. You are giving it not because you were commanded to give it. You were pushed to give it. You are giving it out of your heart. The three mighty men, they just saw a need and they wanted to satisfy this need. And the Bible says, I don't know how they did it. I don't know if the three mighty men, they were friends. I don't know if they sat somewhere and said, what are we hearing? Our beloved king needs something. How do we satisfy this, our king's desire? Beloved, there are many things that God has in his heart today and that he's looking for people, for his children to satisfy. Have you asked God for one thing you want him to tell you and show you that you can satisfy for him? There are so many needs, like the pastor said, there are so many needs in the body of Christ. There are so many needs in the world. So many needs. Do you just pass by because you have your bread and you have your own water to drink? Do you just pass by the needy? Do you just brush off when the Holy Spirit is trying to bring to your attention a need that he wants you to fulfill? Do you just say, God has blessed me. It is for me and my household. Do you just say that? What is the condition of your mind when it comes to listening to what God is trying to tell you through his Spirit? The three mighty men, the Bible does not tell us how they did it before deciding to fulfill this need. What they knew is the king had a desire. And that deep down in them, they knew that if they fulfill this desire, the king will be satisfied. They did not anticipate what the king would do, but in their mind they knew that the king would be satisfied. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that they counted the cost. And as I told you, the garrison is an outpost of military, the soldiers. These three mighty men counted the cost and said, you know what, we are going to break through this garrison and go to the well, take this water and bring it back and give our king. And so they went. They broke through the garrison, brought this water to the king. And when the king saw it, what did he see? He saw the spirit of their sacrifice. That's what he saw. Not the water. In fact, the Bible says he saw the water like blood. Their blood. He equated that water to their blood. The sacrifice that they made, the spirit that came out of what they did, pushed the king to say, no, I cannot drink this water. This is loyalty I have not seen. This is loyalty that has not been heard. It is sacrifice that I cannot take lightly. Hallelujah. There are people who have sacrificed to do things for you, and you have not in one way or one time said, thank you. Thank you for what you did to me. Thank you for what you have done to me. Thank you for the way you treated my children, the gift that you gave my children, or the things, I mean, just the way you have been to our family. You have not said it. There are some people who have gone out of their way to meet your desires. Have we been like King David? Have we been able to say, no, this is sacrifice. I should not take it for lightly. What happened? When they brought it to King David, he used it as a sacrifice also. Hallelujah. The sacrifice of the three mighty men pushed David to also offer a sacrifice of the thing he desired. He longed for that water, but when he got the water, he poured the water down. I said, this sacrifice was produced by people who gave their life, you know, without considering it. So sacrifice gives birth to sacrifice. That is why if you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be based on sacrifice. Hallelujah. We've not been called to live the normal Christian, Sunday to Sunday, just cozy, God is blessing us, children are doing well. That's good. Those are the benefits. Those are the benefits of giving your life to Christ. Those are the benefits of serving the Lord. But what have you, out of your own will, decided to do for God, which will be considered a sacrifice? Because that is what moves, satisfies the heart of God. That is what satisfies the heart of God. And when you read this story, you realize that David had 37 mighty men. There were men who did things which if you listen to them or you see them or you hear them, you'll be like, can a man do this thing? There was one called Abishai. If you go down to 23:18, there was a man called Abishai. This is Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the same among three. Now he lifted up his sword amongst 300 men. He was doing his duty as a soldier. That is what a soldier does. That is, as a soldier, you are required to fight war, right? He fought it as a soldier. He was valiant. But the Bible says in 19 that, was he not most honorable of three? Therefore, he was their captain. So he was the captain of these three people, these three soldiers who went and brought this water for David. He was their captain. But listen, how be it, he attained not unto the first three. He attained not. Why? Because he was doing his as a soldier, which was a requirement for him. The three did theirs as a sacrifice. Hallelujah. As a sacrifice. If you look at, even in the United States, there is the Medal of Honor that they give military and soldiers. Whenever, if you have an opportunity to follow one, just go and listen to what they are saying. They don't just give you because you went and fought and came back. That's what everybody expects from a soldier, right? You go fight, and we pray that you come back. They will praise you, they will thank you for that, but for you to get the honor, that medal of honor, you must go above and beyond. You must be exceptional. The military will have to say, okay, you went for this mission, what happened? Because whenever you go for a mission in the military, when you come back, you have to give a report. What happened? Okay, we went there, we went and we had enemy fire. And we did not know where they came from. But Jacob rose. He was shot with one leg, but then he did not give up. Because of him, we are alive today. And then the military will ask for corroboration. Is this what happened? Yes. Jacob was wounded, but he valiantly fought and preserved our lives. And then that thing will go all the way to the president and say, we have a candidate for honorary. And then the president, you will go before the president, and the president will say, for exceptional service, we are going to give you this. Abishai did what he had to do as a soldier. But the three mighty men, they did what they did for sacrifice. And so, because of that, even though they had a captain, they were more honored than the captain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your honor will not come from your position. You can be director, CEO. Before God, your honor will not come from your position. You can be a dad, you can be a mom. Your honor will not come from your position. Your honor will come from your sacrifice. I think today many of us have forgotten what sacrifice is all about. We have everything at our disposal, especially in the United States of America. It's a wonderful country. You know, it reminds me of the testimony. You know, when the pastor said we should write testimonies, I did not write mine. I felt so bad. And the pastor said, no, go and see, write it and send. Put it online. And so while I was preparing for the message, and then I just was contemplating on the goodness of God, and I said, procrastination is not good. I said, laptop, where are you, laptop? I just brought my laptop and I started. And the Holy Spirit was just reminding me of this particular thing. And I was just writing, and I was just writing. And I said, pap, send. And you know, when you begin to put these things down and begin to contemplate over them, then you begin to see how good God was. See, when you count your blessings, it will surprise you what God has done. If you count them, it will surprise you. You will not understand. You will see, you know, there are certain things that God does to us, and then in his mind, he's like, yes, I have done it. But before, our reaction is so discouraging. We don't even recognize it. And it's like, I have an opportunity to receive praise, but I'm not getting it from my son or my daughter because they are not recognizing the thing I am doing in their life. Have you been praying for something and God, for a long time, and all of a sudden, God gives you? And you just forget. You take it for granted. We should not be ungrateful. Hallelujah. We should not be ungrateful. We should have eyes that are open to see needs. We should have eyes that are open to see needs and be ready to sacrifice to meet those needs. Right? Hallelujah. So they did not consider their lives as anything. That's the most impressive thing in this story, that this men, there was no guarantee that they would go and come back, right? There was no guarantee that they would go into this garrison and come back. There was no guarantee that they would come back. So it doesn't matter how or what you are doing in your office. What matters is what you are doing out of your office. Amen. Benaiah was another mighty man. What he did was something which, if you listen, if you read and you understand, you'll be like, wow. So if you go from 20 to 23, Emma, can you help us? Yeah, 20. Say, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. Sorry, these names are not my country name. Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Credential one. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. Third one, go to 21. And he slew an Egyptian. The Bible says the Egyptian was a goodly man. He was a handsome man. He was goodly. He said, forget about it. He slew the man. And look at how he did it. He said, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. What did he have? He said, but he went down to him with what? A staff. Oh, the Bible says he plucked it. And plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand. How did he pluck it? He said, and slew him with his own spear. 22. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He had the name, the three mighty men recognized him, right? But what does 23 say? He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. Hallelujah. He attained not to the first three. Why? Because as I said, the first three did it out of sacrifice. Out of sacrifice. There are many things that we can do, sacrifice to attain. You know, there are some people who think knowing God is just reading the Bible, reading Christian literature books and all, listening to messages and all that. That is good. But that intimacy with God is a sacrifice that you do every day to have that fellowship with God. When others are enjoying their sleep and snoring, you are taking your time to have an encounter with your God. You are sacrificing your time. While others receive their salary at the end of the month and they are jumping and thinking about this and that, you are like, I have my offering to give to God first. Right? You are, that's your unreasonable act of worship. While others are thinking all sorts of things, you have something. You are focused. Because you have to live a life of sacrifice. Believers have been called not to live the normal life. We have been called to live an extraordinary life. And what triggers that life is a life of sacrifice. God operates on the life of sacrifice. When God sees sacrifice, he intervenes. He becomes part of it. That is why he was so involved in the death of Jesus Christ, because it was the ultimate sacrifice. He could not leave Jesus in that tomb for 3 days, more than 3 days. He had to act because Jesus did some work which nobody has ever seen in this world. We've never seen it. We have other religions that will tell you about things, but they will never tell you that their founder or the person who started their religion did something sacrificial. Like what Jesus did. The Bible says he emptied himself. He emptied himself. Why? So that we might have everything. Now, if Jesus Christ saw that God requires sacrifice, why should we think otherwise? Why should we think that we have been called as Christians just to cruise, you know, to cruise through? No. We have been called to live sacrificial lives. We can do everything for our kids. I remember during the summer, it was 7 days a week. We were going for our kids' stuff. There was always something. Monday, this. Tuesday, this. Wednesday, this. Thursday, that. 7 days a week. That was a life. That was sacrifice we were giving for our kids. Right? Why? Because we want them to have some, to enjoy their life, to enjoy their youth. It's a sacrifice we are willing to do. And to me, those moments when I just sit and I see them jumping and playing their soccer or basketball, whatever they are doing, it's a fulfillment for me. It's a therapy. After I have hit my head, you know, when you've hit your head in the world, walk here and there, and you know, try to fix this thing at work and everything, and you don't even know, maybe there's something, you don't even know the solution yet. You are still dreaming, but when you come and you see them and they are enjoying themselves, it's like therapy. It's like therapy because you are sacrificing for them. You are sacrificing. You are willing to do it because you love them. You are willing to do it because you love them. If you did not love them, you will push it aside. You will want to fulfill your own things. Maybe you have a dream to go to school. You will go to school. You say, look, I have to study. You also go and study. No. But you've decided to sacrifice the engine that our lives run on with God is sacrifice. It's sacrifice. Like the pastor said, there were three levels of sacrifice: praise, service, and giving. Service is an area which is lacking in God's church. Many people just want to sit and receive. Many people just want to, you know, mark an attendance. Many people all over the world. But when it's time to sacrifice something, they are like, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. Like the man of God said, I heard the man of God say, if there is one thing that must be banned in the world, it's food. I said, ah. He said, yes. Because the moment you stop food, it's a sacrifice. Now, when there are some people who will sit back and fast for 7 days or 10 days or two. You know, we have a Daniel fast, 21 days. Is that not sacrifice? You know, it's the end of the, it's the beginning of the year. That's when some offices will want to do their maybe end of year stuff and the rest. But they will come to you and you say, it's okay. Is there water? I'll drink water. And they'll look at you and say, is this man normal? But you are sacrificing. You are saying this pleasure, which is normal, I abstain for it for this time because I want to have some uninterrupted communication with my father. Right? That's what you are doing. You are sacrificing. The man said we should ban food. Food is a source of a lot of trouble that we have as Christians. Many of us don't even know how to fast anymore. Not that they don't even know, they don't like to fast. We don't like to fast. We have things that we want or things that we are doing or we are passing through certain things. We don't know that we have a weapon. We have weapons that we can use. We just forget about it. And we lament somewhere and God is just shaking his head. I say, if only they knew. You know, if only they knew. Because even Jesus Christ, before he started his ministry, what happened? He fasted for how many days? For 40 days. He fasted for 40 days to subdue the power of the flesh. That is why when he came out, the devil brought food before him. Turned these stones into bread. He could do it. But he was telling the devil, for the past 40 days, I have come to understand that man shall not live by bread alone. For the past 40 days, I've not been eating the normal food that you have. It's not even manna. I have been feeding in the presence of God. That's what has been happening. I sacrificed food because I wanted to download something from heaven. I wanted to download my mission, how it would take place for the next 3.5 years. And God opened his eyes and showed him everything, that there will be this wedding you will go to, you will change water into wine, you know, there will be this blind Bartimaeus who will come, you will just heal him, there will be this woman who will touch you, who have an issue with blood, and when she will touch you, she will, the issue will stop. Jesus downloaded everything and he came out there knowing fully well that he had the backing of God, that his mission was backed by heaven. But you know, there are many of us today who will start something, I mean a very good, big endeavor, will not take time to go and in God's presence and say, Father, what is my next step? God will be like, okay, what do you have? Okay, Father, food, it's not my friend till I hear from you. Then God will now download to you what he wants for you. We should not neglect this spirit of sacrifice. It is through it that we get what we want from God. It is through it. There are many of us suffering today because we have neglected that life of sacrifice. Used to be, when I was growing up, there used to be a man of God who who said, you have to deliberately enter into a life of sacrifice. You have to willingly say, you know what? I can afford this thing, but I will not have it. I let it go. You know, like some people tell you that they gave them cars. Now, some men of God will tell you that somebody came and gave me a car, but God told me to give that car away. Not because I don't need a car, but because by giving it away, I am proving that I depend on God for everything. Amen? You think such a man will lack? When you trigger that kind of action before God, God now brings heaven and say, hey, whatever he wants that is in my will, he will have. And tomorrow you begin to see blessings in your life and you begin to ask yourself, but why is this? You have forgotten that there is one thing you did that was a sacrifice that triggered the attention of heaven. And so whatever has to do with your well-being, heaven does not frown. Whatever has to do with your well-being, heaven does not joke. While people are planning evil against you, you don't even know, but God knows. God is just thwarting them, canceling them. Hallelujah. Like I said, I have a reason to praise the Lord. Amen. Do you have a reason to praise the Lord? Amen. Let us enter into a life of sacrifice. Let us begin to consider it. Why? Because by so doing, we are bringing into attention heaven. Hallelujah. So when we offer to God a sacrifice of praise service, then Psalms 34:10 becomes a reality in our lives. Can we have Psalms 34:10, Emma? Psalms 34:10. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want in any good thing. Hallelujah. Shall not lack in any good thing. See, sacrifice is not from a place of convenience. It's from a place of inconvenience. But we have to let go something. You have to let go something you cherish. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ became significant because God had to let go what he cherished the most. God had to let go his son. It was not from a place of convenience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:3-4 that we should do nothing out of selfish ambitions. When you do things for God, you should do it considering others first. Hallelujah. Do something considering others first, not out of selfish ambition. That's sacrificing your own comfort, sacrificing your own desires. You are sacrificing it for others. That's what God wants from us. And when God sees that, there's harmony in the house. Amen? There's harmony in the house. There is love. When I am operating from your, I want your own interest to be met, to prevail before mine. Then God's attention is called. Then we trigger the attention of heaven. And the spirit of harmony begins to prevail. Are there people in your family you are not talking with? No. You have to begin to consider them. You have to begin to make peace. Because the Bible says, as long as it depends on you, as long as it depends on you, live with peace with all men. Amen? Live with peace with all men. You have to do it. You have to sacrifice. Go out of your comfort zone. And you say, Lord, you say, you know what? I was wrong. I don't like how it is between us. Can we fix things? This is not how we're supposed to live. This is not the confession that I have. This is not my life. I've been called to be in peace. I've been called to be, you know, to show love. And when you do that, you are sacrificing your ego. That's what the devil does not like. And you have harmony there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this morning, if there's anything that you have to keep in your mind, you have to know that you have to live a sacrifice, a life of sacrifice. Why? Because sacrifice is that which triggers the attention of heaven. It's what the heaven can be doing other things, but when sacrifice comes into play, heaven is at a standstill. They are like, okay, what's going on here? You have to have that sacrifice and your spirit behind the sacrifice. Your intention behind it has to be the right one. In order to have this honor that these three mighty men had, and we are reading about them today, it's because they did not consider their life anything. They wanted to please their king. The spirit behind their sacrifice triggers another sacrifice from the king. And no matter what others did, they could not attain to them. No matter what lions, how many lions they killed, or lion-faced people they killed, they could never get to the three mighty men, because nothing beats sacrifice. Nothing beats sacrifice. You are a student here. If you will not sacrifice your time to study, don't expect those A's to flow. Amen? You will not. We keep telling our kids, if you want to have A's, you must sit down and study. Unless you are one genius endowed with some wisdom that you listen to something once and that's it. You don't even have to remember to read. Unless you are like that, oh, that's one, that's good. Your realm is another realm. But if you are in the realm of the mortal student that I know, that you go to class and they give you your lectures, cannot keep everything in your head. You see how Pastor Muyiwa was talking about mathematics here. There are some people, what he said, before he could even say it is 2,000, they would have said 2,000 before he even knew it. Because those ones have practiced. They have practiced their strategies. That's how they call it in math. They are math strategies. You master those math strategies only when you sit down and go over them. You cannot say, oh, Was it 56 plus 44? 56 times 44. But there's this strategy that they told us in class. What's that strategy again? No. The strategy will operate immediately when you have worked and sacrificed to learn them. You know, our kids will watch YouTube soccer. Watch soccer, and then they'll be happy, and then when they'll go and play, they'll come back, they will lose. I'll say, yes, I saw how you played today. You think when you watch things on YouTube, that it just automatically comes into you and you begin to play like the people you saw on YouTube? No, that's not how it works. When you watch it, you have to come out and you say, okay, while others are doing what they are doing, you are there sacrificing your time to practice. When you get to that pitch, it comes out of you and you perform. So students, if you want to have those straight A's, you have to sacrifice your time and study. Hallelujah. You have to sacrifice your time and study, because success brings an emotion that is so wonderful. One of our sons had his first trophy last month or 2 months ago. He was so happy. He said, Daddy, can I take my medal to school? I said, So he wanted to take his medal to go show his friends in class. Say, look, I have a medal. Evidence that I worked hard and got this. Those are the feelings you get after you've worked hard. Those are for the students. You have to sacrifice. It's not just spiritual things. Your physical things. For you to get results, you have to sacrifice. Like I said, if you are not in the realm of the genus, if you are in the realm of the mortal men like we are, you have to work hard. You have to sacrifice. Hallelujah. Did somebody have something this morning? Praise the Lord. Let us live a life of sacrifice. And trust me, there will be benefits. There will be testimonies. There will be testimonies. This is a season where we are called to give. Right? December has always been my best month. I was born in June, but December has always been my best month because not only was it the month I got married, but it's the month where you see there's a spirit that people want to give. Giving is the best thing on earth. Because when you give, there's some satisfaction. You're giving away, but what you're getting is more than what you're giving. Hallelujah. So in this season, as the pastor said, ask God for guidance. Ask God for guidance. Meet somebody's need. Meet somebody's need. Pray. This is not the first time he's saying this. He said this in the same thing last year, if you remember. He said the same thing. Go out, ask for somebody you want to minister to, and sacrificially give to them. Go out of your way and bless them. And bless them and go your way. Forget about it. Just bless and go. Amen? Bless and go. When you have figured heaven's attention, there is no way heaven will not react. Praise the Lord. Let us go out there and live a life of sacrifice and get that honor from heaven. Honor which will amaze us. It will wow us. Hallelujah. Did we get something today? Did we get something today? Hallelujah. Let us stand up, please. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You showed us the way by giving us the ultimate sacrifice, laying your life on that cross for us. Shameful as it was, painful as it was, you had a purpose, you had a goal. You have showed us the way to trigger heaven, to call on the attention of heaven, is to give our lives as a sacrifice. Is to give our life as a sacrifice in the right spirit that will touch your heart, Father. May we learn this sacrifice wherever we have been relaxed. Wherever we've shut the Holy Spirit down, we ask for forgiveness, Lord. We ask for forgiveness that we will be alert to understand what you want us to sacrifice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word this morning. May it bear fruit in our hearts. May it bear fruit in our lives. May we go out and live sacrificial lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.